This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ما كان للنبي والذين آمنوا أن يستغفروا للمشركين ولو كانوا أولي قربى من بعد ما تبين لهم أنهم أصحاب الجحيم. وما كان استغفار إبراهيم لأبيه إلا عن موعدة وعدها إياه فلما تبين له أنه عدو لله تبرأ منه إن إبراهيم لأواه حليم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, once again everyone, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. What I'm going to share with you today is perhaps not the most conventional way of looking at these ayat, not a very common way of looking at these ayat, even though others have talked about it. But I will share with you what I'm absolutely convinced of when it comes to the conclusion regarding Ibrahim alayhi salam. I've titled or given a subtitle to this session, Praying for Non-Muslims, and what that has to do with. The ayah we're going to talk about is in Surah At-Tawbah. Specifically, the ayah is going to be about Ibrahim alayhi salam, but we're going to look at the ayah before, and we're going to look at the larger context of Surah At-Tawbah, and we're going to look at the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to try to paint a larger picture. First, let me just translate the ayah as it is. Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ اسْتِغْفَارُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ إِلَّا عَنْ مَوْعِدَةٍ وَعَدَهَا إِيَّاهُ. Ibrahim alayhi salam asking for forgiveness from his father, for his father, was nothing but a promise that he had made to him. So he was, you remember when he was being kicked out of the house, he said, أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي, right? I'm going to ask forgiveness for you. So now Allah in Surah At-Tawbah is making reference to that promise and saying the only reason he was doing that is because of a promise he had made to his father. فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ, and then when it became clear to him, أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌّ لِلَّهِ, that he is an enemy to Allah, meaning his father is an enemy to Allah. تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُ, he disassociated himself from him. He dissolved his connection to his father, meaning no more prayer for him. Inna Ibrahim ala awwahun halim. Ibrahim alayhi salam was someone who truly felt pain and loving, you know, was very loving and forbearing. So now in this ayah, we're seeing that Ibrahim alayhi salam stopped praying for his father, right? Now, let me share the ayah before. Ma kana lin nabi walladhina amanu an yastaghfiru lil mushrikeen. It is not right for the Prophet or for those who believe along with the Prophet ﷺ, that they should ask forgiveness for the mushrikeen. An yastaghfiru lil mushrikeen. Walau kanu uli qurba, even if they are close relatives. Min ba'di ma tabayyana lahum annahum ashabul jahim, even after it has been made clear to them, once it has been made clear to them that those are the people of hellfire, of the blazing flame of Al-Jahim. And the next ayah is the one that I just told you about, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because the moment the ayah came, Allah's messenger and his believers cannot pray for those who do shirk. And the question came, what the Quran already said, Ibrahim alayhi salam prayed for his dad. And so Allah is clarifying, no, but he did that because of a promise. And then when it became clear to him, he no longer prayed for him. But we have to really wrap our heads around this concept, right? لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم. In Surah Al-Mujadala, Allah says, you will not find a people, you will not find a group of people that believe in Allah in the last day who at the same time show love to those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, even if they're family. Right? So this idea is coming up in a number of places. From this, one might extrapolate that once you become Muslim, you shouldn't be praying for non-Muslims. Easy enough. The issue is this. Number one, the idea of bara'a, the idea of having nothing to do with anyone, having no connection with anyone. You see, this ayah that we're learning today comes in Surah At-Tawbah. Surah At-Tawbah is the tawbah of the is the surah of the punishment of Allah on Quraysh. So what you have to know about Surah At-Tawbah from beginning to end, this surah is unique. The surah is about Allah's punishment. And it's at the end of the Prophet ﷺ's mission. So the Prophet ﷺ is trying to preach to the people of Mecca. Then he's migrated to Medina. He's seen all kinds of opposition from them. They've attempted to kill him, expel him from his home. They've gone to war with him a few times. Nobody is clearer that the messenger is in fact the messenger of Allah than the people of Mecca. And then on top of that, they remain committed to their shirk for other reasons, for political, social, economic reasons. But now they've been conquered. So all of that struggle is now over. And the Quraysh who opposed, and the mushrikeen who opposed the messenger of Allah, have now been conquered. How do you deal with these people now that they have been conquered? They've been your enemy the whole time. How do you deal? What should their punishment be? Now pause for a second. Other messengers also had to deal with nations, right? But other messengers, when they dealt with those nations were usually dominant until the end. And those messengers had to escape. And when they escaped, what would happen to those nations? Like Nuh alayhi salam escapes, what happens to the nation of Nuh? Lut alayhi salam escapes, what happens to the nation of Lut? Musa alayhi salam escapes, what happens to Fir'aun? This is a formula, right? It happens over and over again. And whenever messengers escape, that means the nation that is left behind is punishable. They're punished and they're annihilated. This is the way Allah does things, sunnat Allah. This is the sunnah of Allah. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam escapes Mecca. The same way that Musa escaped Fir'aun, the same way that Nuh alayhi salam escaped, the same way that Lut alayhi salam and his family escaped, and now Rasulullah has escaped Mecca. Well, if he's escaped Mecca, what should happen next to the people of Mecca? The same thing that's happened all the time, right? But what did Allah do? Allah Azza wa Jal progressively gave them punishment. Allah explained why is the punishment to the Quraysh different from the punishment of Nuh, the punishment of Lut, the punishment of Fir'aun? Why is it different? Allah says in this surah, قَاتِلُوهُمْ يُعَذِّبْهُمُ اللَّهُ بِأَيْدِيكُمْ. Fight them, meaning the mushrikun of Mecca. Allah is going to punish them using your hands. So he used to send punishment from the sky. He used to send punishment by the winds. He used to send punishment in different forms, natural disasters you can call them, right? But this time, Allah said, no, the swords of the believers are going to be the punishment for the mushrikeen of Mecca. This was a new policy that Allah delivered. So the beginning of that punishment is Badr. It continues in Uhud. It continues in Ahzab. And now all of those battles are over. Mecca is now conquered. This should be the final episode, the final installation, the final installment of that punishment should happen now. That final installment is described in what surah? At-Tawbah. The final installation. And now that they've already been declared punishable by Allah, the door is closed. Even then, Allah said something He's never said for any other nation. He said to His Messenger in this surah, He said, وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أَبْلِغْهُ مَأْمَنَ. If one of the mushrikeen comes to you seeking your protection because they never heard anything about Islam. The whole thing in Mecca was happening, Medina was happening, and this guy was at home playing PlayStation. I don't know what he was doing. Like, he had no idea what's happening outside. And he comes out and the Muslims have conquered. He's like, hey, where are all the idols? Didn't there used to be idols here? Like, what's going on? I don't even know. And he just shows up to the Prophet ﷺ, hey, so I think you guys called me mushrik. What's up with that? Like, can I know about Islam or something? You could say to them, 23 years, bro, where you been? Right? But if someone comes to the Prophet ﷺ seeking protection, I didn't take it seriously. Your beef was with the Quraysh or some people. I had my own thing going on. I was gardening in my backyard. I didn't know what's up. So he comes and asks, Allah says, فَأَجِرْهُ, give him protection, حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ, until he gets to hear the speech of Allah. ثُمَّ أَبْلِغْهُ مَأْمَنَا, then take him to a place where he may feel safe. That's because these are people that didn't know. So Allah is making excuses. Even now, even as a whole, the nation is punishable. But even now, excuses are being made. Now, when the punishment of Allah comes, Allah says, لَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ. When the divine punishment of Allah comes on a nation, which nation? A nation that disobeys Allah's messenger. Right? Then when they get that punishment, then that punishment cannot be brought any sooner and it cannot be delayed. It's an exact time when it's going to come. The punishment comes on them in the form of the conquest of Mecca. Now these people are war criminals. They tried to kill the Prophet ﷺ. They've engaged in war multiple times. They've tortured innocent Sahaba. They've taken their property. They've done all kinds of stuff, right? What should be happening with them? What did Allah Azza wa Jalla reveal? He revealed Surah At-Tawbah. And in the beginning of Surah At-Tawbah, I'm just going to read just a couple of ayat to you because this is homework reading for you guys. Just enjoy reading what's happening at the end, in the end chapter of the Prophet's life. Bara'atun min Allahi wa Rasulihi ila alladhina ahadtu min al-mushrikeen. A declaration of no connection. Bara'a means, you know, absolution. I have nothing to do with you. I have no connection to you. Okay? A disavow any association with you. An announcement of disconnect from Allah and His Messenger to those who you may have made any treaties with among the mushrikeen. Remember in Hudaybiyah we made treaties. Now Allah is saying, all those treaties, done. They're finished. Fasihu fil ardi. Then He turns to the mushrikeen and says, go ahead, you can walk around in the land. You're free to move around. Wait, already this is wild. Because usually, once the enemy has been overpowered by Allah, what happens next? They're killed. Allah says, no, walk around in the land. Arba'ata ashhurin. How long should they walk around the land? He says, go wherever you want for 4 months. Wa'lamu annakum ghayru mu'jizillah. And you should, as you go around free, don't you even get the idea that somehow we're naive, that you're going to go regroup and come back for another wave of attack. You should know, now it is impossible for you to overpower Allah. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مُخْزِي الْكَافِرِينَ. And that Allah is determined to humiliate those who are hell-bent upon disbelieving. So now, this is an announcement that 4 months, you get to roam free. Nuh alayhi salam's nation was not given 4 months when the flood started. Lut alayhi salam's nation was not given 4 months when the fire started raining from the sky. Fir'aun was not given 4 months when the water reached his neck. And Allah said, go swim around in the water for 4 months, then I'll drown you. That's not what happened. But when the sword of the Sahaba reached the neck of the mushrik here, what did Allah say? No, go walk around 4 more months, think about it. Go ahead, 4 months. And then what you say later on? فَإِذَا انْسَلَخَ الْأَشْهُرُ الْحُرُمْ فَاقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ. When those 4 months are done, kill the mushrikeen. Execute them. This is Allah's punishment on who? The Quraysh, who fought the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is divine punishment. This is the Quran's episode. It's the final episode of what happened with previous nations. You understand? This is not jihad now. This is punishment from Allah. There's a difference between this and jihad fi sabilillah. This has nothing to do with jihad fi sabilillah. This is divine punishment. That's why Allah says in the surah, قَاتِلُوهُمْ يُعَذِّبْهُمُ اللَّهُ بِأَيْدِكُمْ. Fight them, Allah will punish them by your hand. Now, so this surah is about Allah delivering His final punishment on the people who denied the Messenger of Allah وسلم, and committed all kinds of war crimes. They deserve the death penalty as far as Allah is concerned. That's the declaration. Now, in that context, there are still Muslims who have family members who were on the wrong side of the battlefield multiple times. You still have Sahaba who moved to Medina, who were victims of the torture and all of that, but they still have family among the people of Makkah. So, and they know the 4 months are running out. So what do they want to do in those 4 months? They want to make sure those people come back to Allah. And Allah is basically saying, the Messenger of Allah, the greatest teacher and preacher of all time, spent more than a decade with these people. They tried to kill Allah's Messenger. They heard the entire Quran. They saw the victory of Allah come. They saw Hudaybiyah happen. None of this was able to convince them. And Allah has declared now these people are, you know how only Allah can decide whether somebody can get guidance or not, right? Only Allah decides. And for any human being that is alive today, you and I can never say this person's heart is sealed, Allah will never guide them. We can never say that. You cannot say that. The only one who has a right to say this person is, their heart is sealed, they will never have guidance until the moment of their death, and they will die as a mushrik and a kafir and burn in the hellfire. The only one who has a right to say that is who? It's Allah Azza wa Jalla. We don't know what's going on in somebody's heart. But you know what? In some cases, Allah tells His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, I am letting you know, in the case of this person or this group or these individuals, they're done for. There's no point making da'wah to them. I have decided they are worthy of Allah's punishment. I've already scanned their hearts. I know the depths of their hearts. There is no ounce of faith in them. They are only worthy of what? punishment. And therefore, they will get punishment not only in the Akhirah, but in the, if a messenger is alive, they will get punishment in this life too. They will get punishment in this life too. Now, with that in mind, listen to those ayat again. مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ It is not becoming for the Prophet or those who've believed to seek forgiveness for the mushrikeen. Which mushrikeen? This is Surah At-Tawbah. These are the mushrikeen that are on death row, decided by Allah, because He's already checked their hearts. And He's decided they have no ounce of iman left. If after those 4 months are done, they don't come to terms on their own, there is no room for any mercy for them, so it is not becoming of you to be praying for them. This is all on their own now. You have to disconnect. Your loyalties have to be tested now. وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى Even if they were close relatives, مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ Now these words should ring differently to you now. If it has become clear, even after it's been clear, become clear to them that those are the people of hellfire. The only one who can declare someone alive, a person of hellfire, is Allah. And Allah declared them that. Allah declared that. And once He declares someone that, you can't pray for them. Now let's come to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim, ما كان استغفار إبراهيم لأبيه إلا عن موعدة وعدها إياه. Ibrahim alayhi salam was only praying for his father because of a promise he kept. A promise he made to him. فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ When it became clear to him. How did it become clear to him? By way of revelation. أَنَّهُ عَدُوُّ اللَّهِ That he is Allah's عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ That he is an enemy to Allah. تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُ Then he had to also say, تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُ He had to disassociate himself from him. Now let me give you another case. Nuh alayhi salam and his son. Until the very end, isn't Nuh alayhi salam asking for his son? He sees him drowning and he says, إِنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِي He's from my family. Allah, you told me that my family will be saved and he's from my family. And Allah responds to him, no, he's not. It is at that moment that Allah revealed to him that he's from the people of hellfire. So Allah could have revealed it sooner, but Allah chose to reveal it all the way at the end. But even then, the revelation can only come from Allah Azza wa Jal. I cannot say about a cousin, a Hindu cousin, or a distant uncle who's Buddhist, or a Christian friend, or whoever, that these are people of the hellfire. I can't say it because I don't know when their hearts are going to turn. And when I don't know that for a fact, when Allah has not given me that knowledge, Allah has not revealed that to me, then it is okay for me to ask for their guidance and to ask for to pray for their forgiveness. Ya Allah, guide them. Ya Allah, forgive. فَإِنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Allah, forgive them. These are people they don't know. You know? So this is actually a similar to a dua the Prophet ﷺ made when the mushrikun almost killed him in the Battle of Uhud. You know, because Allah forgive them. These are people they don't even know. They don't even realize what they're doing. But eventually Allah says, no, that door is closed. But because you know what? Even up until Uhud, the door was still not closed to them. You know, Khalid ibn Walid is the reason so many Muslims died. Right? He was a strategic general in the army that almost killed the Prophet ﷺ. They were almost successful in that mission. And he's one of the most important companions of the Prophet ﷺ. He comes to Islam. What does that tell you? The door was not yet closed. When did Allah close the door? He closed the door when the doors of Rahmah were closed at the end of the seerah, when the punishment on the Quraysh was coming down. And that's why the surah that delivered that punishment doesn't even have the basmala in it. It's the one surah of the Quran we don't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There's a reason for that, because it's the surah of Adab. It's the surah of punishment. And so in its context, we learn about bara'ah. In my opinion, Allahu Ta'ala A'lam, I am absolutely convinced that if a young man becomes Muslim and his mother is Christian, right? His family is still, and he loves his mother, that you should not be using these ayat to say you can't pray for your mother. Because it's not become clear to him that, you know, the ayat say, فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ It's become clear to him that he's an enemy to Allah. تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُ He had nothing to do with him. He disassociated himself. That's not the case. Ibrahim alayhi salam left his father and inna bura'a'u minkum wa mimma ta'buduna min dunillah. When it became clear to them in Surah Al-Mumtahina, which is another surah of disassociation, Ibrahim alayhi salam said to his people, we have nothing to do with you. We have nothing to do with you. And whatever you worship besides Allah. But you know what? At the same time, there were people that were making da'wah to their family and also praying for their family. They're praying for them. They want that the iman to come to them. It is impossible for us to think that, you know, for the people in our family, our loved ones that don't have deen, that are maybe following a different religion or no religion at all, that we shouldn't even be asking Allah Azza wa Jalla for their forgiveness or for their guidance. And this is the last thing I'll share with you. Asking for forgiveness and asking for guidance are one and the same thing. Because we know, in our deen, we know, you cannot ask for someone's forgiveness, just like ourselves, we cannot ask for our forgiveness separate from asking for guidance. Because we know the only way we get forgiveness is how? By following guidance. You don't get to be misguided and get forgiven. Right? So if this is actually kind of a majaz'ah. You're asking for one thing, but you're necessarily asking for the other. If you're asking for somebody to forgive, and you're definitely asking for them to have guidance. They go hand in hand. And that's the mentality we should develop. This should not be used to torture somebody psychologically, that they're just being told, oh, your family's in the hellfire, you can't love them, you can't pray for them, you can't be kind. That's silliness. That's not Quran. These are notions we've developed without understanding the place in which Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions these things and how we're supposed to apply it. And it makes you appreciate what a hard test it was for the Sahaba. They had a test harder than we'll ever have. They had to know that their family is going, some family members are going to hellfire because of their own stubbornness, and they're not even allowed to pray for them after Tawbah was revealed. They're not allowed to pray for them. They're not allowed to ask for their forgiveness or beg for their guidance, because those people have rejected it, and Allah knows that better than they can. So Allah let them know that door is closed. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us humble to His word and better our understanding and soften the hearts of our families and those that are non-Muslim. Allah incline their hearts more and more towards this deen, so Allah Azza wa Jalla can give them guidance and make us all worthy of His forgiveness. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'anil Hakeem wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr.